This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
For alleviating everyone's despondency that's come here today, Lord, we thank you that you are our answer to every problem. And you promise to help us through all the problems of life. So, Father, thank you for lifting that spirit of fear, that spirit of anxiety, whatever it is, in Jesus' name, and cause your people to be able to rejoice. Oh, yes, Lord, we have reason to rejoice. Rejoicing because of you and what you've done, given us a garment of salvation, covered us with a robe of righteousness, Lord. Thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, we bless your name. Oh, we bless your name. Belidam no soy, illa medicam and no soy. Well, go ahead and worship him from your heart. Hallelujah. Let your spirit, man, just be recharged today. Yes, hallelujah. You know, we all have cell phones. And those cell phones need recharged once in a while, don't they? You go to an airport, you find people waiting till somebody unplugs at the charging station so they can plug in and get recharged. You like me, sometimes you forget to recharge and it runs out. But listen, don't forget to recharge with the Lord. He's here to recharge your battery today so that you go out of here with the zeal of God, the power of God, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Glory to God. Strong in spirit. Yes, Lord, we bless your name, O God, and the Lord of us so cold. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord. As we break the bread of life today, we thank you for your word ministering life, restoration to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated today. And you can turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 19. Numbers 19. Oh, ushers, one more task. Well, we've had you busy today. Sorry about that. Ushers, if you could, help me pass these out today. Thank you so much. We're giving them lots of exercise today. Thank you. Anybody else here? Okay. Make sure you get one of these diagrams because this kind of just gives you a rough overview of what's going to transpire in the end times. Thank you, Gary. And we're going to go back to Numbers 19. And Father, we ask you to illuminate this word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. So Numbers 19, beginning with verse 1, I'm going to read from the NLT version today. It says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, here is another ritual law required by the Lord." Remember, lots of sacrifices and things in the Old Testament. They're no longer relevant today because Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice. I said Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice, right? And he goes on to say, "Tell the people of Israel to bring you a red heifer." Now, what's a red heifer? That's a cow, but it's a young cow. Have you ever seen a red heifer? It's just kind of a burgundy color. I guess it's probably like the color of this platform right here, this rug. Okay? Kind of a young red cow that has no physical defects and has never yoked to a plow. Give it to Eleazar the priest, and it will be taken outside the camp and slaughtered in his presence. Eleazar will take some of its blood on his finger and sprinkle it 7 times toward the front of the tabernacle. So the blood of a red heifer becomes pretty important, doesn't it? Go over there to verse 17. And now they're going to tell about how they take the blood of the red heifer and they take the, then they burn, they actually burn that sacrifice, and they take the ashes of the red heifer. And here's what it says: to remove the defilement, put some of the ashes from the burnt purification offering in a jar and pour fresh water over them. So they're mixing the water with the ashes. Then someone who is ceremonially clean must take a hyssop branch and dip it into the water. That person must sprinkle the water on the tent and on the furnishings in the tent and on anyone who was in the tent or anyone who has touched a human bone or touched a person who was killed or who died naturally or has touched a grave. So they take these ashes of a red heifer, mix it in water, and then they take a hyssop branch and they begin to sprinkle it onto the people. And on the tent and so forth. How many know Jesus is coming back? How soon? We don't know. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour when he's returning. And that's what you see right there on that diagram. It's two times when we see Jesus first coming back in the rapture of the church. And he doesn't step foot on the earth. That's why that arrow only goes part way. Then the second time, 7 years later, he comes back in what's called the second advent, and he actually steps foot on the Mount of Olives. So what's in between the rapture and the second advent is 7 years of tribulation on the earth. And during that time, we are in heaven with him for 7 years. Now, this is Bible, and we'll point this out to you later, but going back to these sacrifices, this was Jewish tradition. They had to have a perfect red heifer to carry out this sacrifice, and it's interesting because these sacrifices were done up until the time of 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. I believe it was Titus who came in, the Roman emperor, and destroyed everything. And this, and it says in the Bible that these sacrifices all ceased. They stopped. But now, do you know that these sacrifices are going to be reinstated, reactivated, if you will? These sacrifices that were made to atone for sin and to cleanse the people, these sacrifices that were discontinued, are going to become normal sacrifices in the temple again someday in the end times. Now the Jews wanted to get this started. But one of the problems that they had was they didn't have a red heifer. So they went about looking in other countries and searching and researching, and they even did some crossbreeding of cattle to try to get a red heifer so that they could meet the biblical specifications in the Old Testament for this particular ritual. Couldn't find one anywhere. But we're going to see that something has happened. Up to this point, they've been unable to find one, but turn with me to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And I'm going to show you a video clip here in just a moment. But Daniel 9:27, let's read this first. So that you'll see I'm not just talking through my head. Daniel 9:27 says, and it's talking about the Antichrist here. It says, and he, meaning the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The Antichrist has gone to make a peace treaty with the nations of the world, this 10-nation alliance. He's going to make it, and Israel will even be a part of that. And he's going to be like the big hero of the day. There's going to be perhaps a one-world government set up, and he's going to come in and take over, that he has confirmed this covenant for 1 week. Now, what's 1 week mean? Well, we're talking about a week of years here. Well, a week of years happens to be 7 years. In fact, this particular week is called Daniel's 70th week. And it's a time whenever we see the tribulation begin. See that place where it says tribulation on that little chart? That's when it's going to begin. There's 7 years or seven, what did I say? Daniel's 70th week is going to be there 7 years while we will be in heaven and there's tribulation on the earth. So the Antichrist is going to set some things up, and then what happens? Look here. In the midst of the week, in other words, in the middle of those 7 years, 3.5 years into those seven, the Antichrist will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In other words, this sacrifice that we're talking about, the sacrifice of the red heifer, the Antichrist is going to come into the temple and say, that's it, no more sacrifices. Now you're going to worship me. And he's going to set himself up on that throne and want to be worshipped as God. But in order for him to stop some sacrifices, they will have to have been reinstated, reactivated, because they're not happening right now, right? Once again, because they don't have a red heifer. Now this Antichrist fella, while you're in Daniel, just go over there to chapter 11 and verse 21. Daniel 11:21 says, and in his estate, talking about the Antichrist now, shall stand up a vile person. That's the Antichrist, a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. He's just going to flatter everybody, and he's going to be a charismatic person, you know, and he's going to win people over and sign this huge contract or peace treaty. But remember, going back to verse 27, 9:27, it says, and for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In other words, he's going to desecrate the temple. He's going to cause these sacrifices to cease. Once again, we're New Testament believers. We don't get into these sacrifices of the red heifer and everything, but the Jewish people do. They still adhere to these kinds of things. And they want dearly to start these sacrifices up again. What else does it say about the Antichrist? Look at chapter 11, verse 37. It says, 11:37, neither shall he, meaning the Antichrist, regard the God of his fathers, nor despise, nor desire women, nor the desire of women. Many people think he's going to be a homosexual because of that statement right there, many theologians. Nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. He wants to be the head honcho. He wants to be king of it all. Thus begins his reign when he makes this covenant. The point of the temple sacrifices using the acclaimed red heifer will have been reestablished. So any sign that they are preparing to begin these sacrifices again is a flashing caution sign that we are near the end of the age and that Jesus is coming back. Let's play that video back there. You don't want to miss this. This really puts the icing on the cake. Watch this.
These are the red heifers that landed at Israel's Ben-Gurion Airport. Rabbis believe the ashes of a red heifer are necessary for purifying priests to serve in a future temple. The heifers were discovered and brought to Israel with the help of the Bone Israel, Building Israel organization and its team leader, Byron Stinson. Rabbis from the Temple Mount Institute approached Stinson about the unique cattle.
They said, Byron, could you look in Texas and find us a red heifer? I wasn't expecting that, and it was shocking to me to think about it, but I know a lot of ranchers, and I know a little bit about cattle, being from Texas, and I always say yes to these Jewish rabbis because they're my friends, and I love them, and why not?
This began an in-depth process of finding the rare heifer that meets key stipulations found in the Bible.
The Bible gives us a clue as to the significance of the red heifers here in Numbers chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, where it says that God spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the ritual law that God has commanded, instruct the children of Israel, to bring you a red cow without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which no yoke has been laid." So it says that we're supposed to take a perfectly red cow with no white hairs or dark hairs at all, and a cow that no yoke has ever been on. So as a result, it's very, very rare to find a baby cow that is completely red.
The ashes of the red heifer would be used to purify water from the Gihon spring in the city of David. Just a few ashes could purify thousands of gallons of water. That water can be then purified priests from any contact with a dead body, so they can offer sacrifice in the temple.
Some Jews go every single day to a ritual bath, to a mikveh, in order to approach God in prayer in purity. However, it is not the same because we don't have the red heifer. Once we have the red heifer, we'll be completely pure and we'll be able to rebuild the temple.
The red heifer must also be 2 years old. These cattle are just around a year old and could qualify in just over a year.
So if they're able to make it without growing the white hairs or black hairs, I think with five of them we have a really good chance of that, then they will be the first one in 2,000 years.
The Jewish sage Maimonides from the 12th century said throughout the first and second temples there were 9 red heifers. He said the 10th would signal the appearance of the Messiah. That's why many are excited about this arrival. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
So do you see the significance of this? Now the temple sacrifices can begin again. And it means that we are approaching the end. It's getting closer, isn't it? Of course, we've known that for years, haven't we? And scoffers say, no, he's not coming back. I think over there in 2 Peter, mentions scoffers, you know, come down on people and say, no, Jesus is not really coming back. Well, don't get into that category. Don't be one of those scoffers, because he is coming back. And in Matthew 24, it says, those who are not looking for his coming are going to be caught off guard. And so we need to anticipate his coming. Amen? So anyhow, look at Matthew chapter 24 with that regard. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, notice what it says. "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." In an hour we're not anticipating, he's going to come. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." That's probably going to take place in the millennium. God's going to make you ruler over all his goods. "But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming." I believe he's taking his time. He's not really coming back. I believe he's delaying his coming. Don't get into that category. Don't say that, all right? "And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of." In other words, that particular guy is going to be caught off guard. So if you're not where you need to be, you're going to be caught off guard, is what it's saying. "And shall cut him asunder, appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, oh, by the way, that scripture for scoffers is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Did you ever see a sign on a mirror that says, maybe your side mirror on your car, "Things in a mirror and God are closer than they appear"? It doesn't say "and God," but I threw that in there. "Things in a mirror and God are closer than they appear." So what do we need to do? We need to keep living every single day for him. Do not fudge or compromise. Too much is at stake. Live your life in light of eternity. Be prepared and stay prepared. Be like the ever-ready battery, ever ready for his return, right? Be sold out with fire in your bellies. Have a passion, not for the world, but for Jesus. We can be sure that when the trumpet sounds, we've made adequate preparations. Not like the 10 virgins or the 5 virgins. You remember that story in Matthew 25? There were 10 virgins. 5 of them were unprepared. 5 of them were prepared for his return, for the bridegroom coming. Some people say that represents the entire body of Christ. And that perhaps only half are going to be prepared. So which half do you want to be in? That's up to you. But the half that were ill-prepared, the bridegroom came, the door was shut, and they couldn't go in to him. The Bible says that the thing that they had to do was they ran out of oil. And they were going to borrow oil from the 5 that had oil. And they said, no, we can't do that. You have to get your own. Because our relationship with Jesus is our personal responsibility, isn't it? We can't get in heaven on I can't get into heaven on my wife's coattails, all right? It's between me and Jesus. So the 10 virgins could possibly represent the church, and maybe the 5 virgins are those who don't see the light about abortion and supporting Israel, and maybe these things, I don't know. A lot of churches are into this BDS movement, this boycotting Israel movement. They're working against God's people. So I'm not going to say who's gone and who isn't, but all I'm saying is we can make a decision to be part of the 5 wise virgins that are prepared and ready at any moment, right? So when that trumpet sounds, we're ready. So, but anyhow, they were lacking oil. And oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not here saying today that if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that you're not going to rapture. No, I'm not saying that, although it could help. So, but the Holy Spirit, nevertheless, is represented by oil. And so we need the oil of the Holy Spirit in this last day. And you know, there are going to be some wonderful occurrences, things that the Holy Spirit is going to do in this last day. He's going to usher in His glory. In fact, turn with me to Haggai, back in the Minor Prophets, Haggai chapter 2, Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7. He says, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." How many of you, He's going to fill the houses, His houses, ones who are truly worshiping God and sold out to Him, He's going to fill them with His glory, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace." In other words, the glory is going to be compounded in these latter times. The glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. And He'll give peace. Such peace that no matter what's going on around you, you're going to be able to walk through it, walk through the fire, be unscathed, untouched, not distracted a bit because of this great peace that we're going to have. And so, why? Because the King of Glory is going to come in. You read Psalm 24, it talks about the King of Glory. The King of Glory shall come in. In 1 Corinthians 2:8, he's referred to as the Lord of Glory. And come with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. So Jesus is the Lord of Glory, and He's going to return. And in that interim, there's going to be a huge harvest. And He's going to bring people. Well, let me make this statement first of all. Point number one today, and you can put that on the screen. The glory is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is the manifestation, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it is tangible. There's a tangibility to this presence. And it encompasses us. And we sense from this glory, we sense His love, we sense His transforming power, and it's like a touch of heaven. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the glory is a manifestation, the awesome presence. Number two, the glory shows up where he is highly regarded, honored, and extolled. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, and I believe it's verse 6. 1 Kings 8, and let's look at verse 9. 1 Kings 8, 9, there was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, in the tabernacle now, the place of the presence of God, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand. They couldn't stand up, couldn't stand to minister because of the cloud. Why? For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And when that glory fills the house, it's hard to stand up. And that's what happened to them. That's what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus when Jesus spoke to him. And I don't know if he's on his horse with these other guys, but anyhow, they all fell to the ground. Why? Because of the manifest presence of God. He wasn't there to hurt you, but he was there to do something great in your life. And that's what happens. And go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Notice what it says here in verse 12. And the Levites, which were the singers, I think this is a second recount of what we just read, but they had Levites and singers, and all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons, with their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps. They had musical instruments. Stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Can you imagine? I mean, I'd like to listen to Phil Driscoll, but could you imagine 120 Phil Driscolls playing a trumpet? And the glory of God fell, right? And it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound. I mean, they blended in beautifully with each other to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." And what happened? Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So that, what happened? The priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I've been in that kind of presence before. And your knees just get a little rubbery, you know, and it's like, whoa. How many have experienced that? Hey, man, it's called falling out in the spirit. The glory of the Lord had filled the house, and so they couldn't stand up. Point number three. The glory rearranges the atmosphere and makes things right. When the atmosphere is filled with His glory, it rearranges things. People get their lives turned around. They get dedicated all of a sudden. They are transformed. They find the peace of God. Their minds get clear. Their hearts get right. And they are supercharged. We talked earlier about supercharging your spirit, man. Well, that's exactly what happens. Psalm 92:10, you are anointed with fresh oil, and you'll never be the same. Point number four, when the glory enters, it is accompanied by miracle-working power. It's accompanied by miracle-working power. You know, the day of miracles is not over. And we need this power to carry us through in these last days. To help us bring in that pre-rapture harvest of souls. I love this scripture in Zechariah 10, verse 1, that says, "Ask ye the Lord for the rain in the time of the latter rain, so that there may be bright clouds and a harvest." Woo, glory to God. I get excited about the harvest. The first drops of rain are falling now. This is the day of supernatural signs and wonders. A global spiritual event is pervasive. A global phenomenon. A great reset, a great awakening is taking place. You look at what's happening in Yugoslavia. Their president or prime minister, whatever he is a Christian. And he's very conservative. And he's not going to let this leftist junk into his country. And the same thing, they just raised up a leader, a king or a prime minister, a president or something in Italy. And she's the same way. She's very much sold out to Jesus, and she's conservative, and she's not going to put up with any of this leftist agenda, this woke culture. I tell you, something is happening, church. Whenever Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth just passed away. Did you notice that they showed all these pictures of her with Billy Graham? Billy Graham was kind of a mentor to her. And she was a born-again Christian. And she collaborated with Billy Graham and planned her funeral with Billy Graham, that it was going to be a testimony and a time for people to be born again, that Jesus was going to be exalted. And she told there were many scriptures that were in her funeral. And it was a time, it was a revival time, an evangelistic time that she planned with Billy Graham. So there is something that's taking place, church, and God's glory is about to show up. Amen? Hallelujah to Jesus. Queen Elizabeth was firmly for God, family, and country. And church, I'm telling you, we've got some midterm elections that are coming, and they are highly important. And I pray that each one of you is registered to vote. Elaine Ray informed me that what I mentioned about October the 24th isn't quite accurate. I guess it's, how's it, Elaine, if you've never been registered.
If you've never been registered, you have to be registered by the 1st of October.
By the 1st.
If you are registered,
you have until the 24th. Okay, got it.
The first part's over.
So, hopefully you're registered. If you're not, do what you can to get registered. So anyhow, because we all need to vote in that. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring a super spreader. I believe it. Hallelujah, a harvest. But we got to get people out to vote to set the stage for welcoming the glory of God. Amen? I wonder if we can get our worship team back up here today. And let's just extol Him. You know, one of the points today was that the glory shows up when He's highly extolled and regarded. Let's just enter into some praise and worship today, like they did back in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles. They worshiped Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So on that diagram, you see that we're in heaven with Him for 7 years while the earth is going through the tribulation period. Jesus has made a way. I mean, that's called the wrath of God. Did you know that? While they're getting ready, let me just read a couple scriptures to you. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. Matthew 24:21 talks about, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Great tribulation. Worse than anything that's ever transpired. Another scripture for that same tribulation period is Jeremiah 30, verse 7, which is called Jacob's Trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. You can check that out as well. So Jesus is coming back, but thank God you and I are not going to experience the wrath of God if you know Jesus. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 says this. Romans 5, verse 9. It says, "Much more then, being now justified..." That means made just as if I had never sinned by the blood of Jesus. No matter what your past was, you can be prayed for. You can receive the application of His blood to your life, be forgiven, and be just as if you had never sinned. "We shall be saved from wrath through Him." I said, you'll be saved from wrath through Him. Well, you know, there's another 5:9, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. It says something very similar. Notice what it says here. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. God's not appointed you to wrath. He took Lot out of Sodom before he destroyed it, didn't he? Righteous Lot. He took Noah and his family out of the flood before it occurred. And he's going to take his people out too. But you know what? You and I need to be prepared. We can't be dilly-dallying. We can't be having one foot in the world and one foot in the enemy's camp. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray this prayer today and accept Him as Lord and Savior. Those of you watching today, let's pray this with us today. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I see Your return is imminent, and I want to be ready. Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Thank You for forgiving me of all my past sins. Thank You for loving me, for saving me, and for a first-class plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and meant it, please contact us, send us an email, or give us a call at the church. And let us know you made that all-important decision that's going to enable you to escape the tribulation that's going to come on this earth. Amen. And then get in the Bible. Read the Word of God every day. Talk to Jesus like you talk to your friend, because He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And He'll see you through. And then just go on and get filled with the Holy Ghost, because He is the paraclete, the one that's called alongside to help you in time of need. He's the comforter. Oh, we're needy people. We need the Holy Ghost in these last days, right? Amen. Thank You for doing it, Lord. Well, let's worship Him as we go. And if you need prayer, come on up. We'll pray for you.
Before we start, I just want to congratulate my parents on 58 years of marriage tomorrow.
Yeah. Come on up here, dear. Yeah. Congratulate her. 58 years putting up with me. No, not really. You want to say anything?
No.
No? Okay.
I just couldn't help reflect on the tragedy in Florida as I thought about this message. There's some people that were ready. They left. They took the advice of those that know about weather. And that we heard the message today. We won't be left if we take the advice of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That works through our pastor. A lot of you will say, well, I've never heard this before. Well, there's a lot to know in the Bible, different subjects. And he is a word man.
Oh, I love this word, and you do too. You're a word woman.
But all these years, I see why the Lord called teachers. He knew the body of Christ needed taught the Word of God. Amen? Got lots of teachers, even in our family, in the Reynolds family. There's a lot of teachers. We were just naming them the other day. And, but
God's good. The Holy Spirit's a teacher now.
Yes, He is.
He is. He teaches.
But I need taught. That particular subject. I mean, I was just looking through some papers the other day. And I have that at home.
Oh, that diagram.
That diagram. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have lots of papers at home. You can imagine. We got papers everywhere. But anyhow, so we want to heed.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit. It's saying, be ready. Just be ready. And don't let the enemy, through any test or trial, keep you out of coming to the church.
Amen.
Because, I mean, when you're sick or you don't want to infect anybody, I understand that. But there's something happens when you get into the corporate
That's right.
anointing with people yeah. that love on you and smile at you
Amen.
And shake your hand. When you're feeling low, right? When you're feeling low, you got to go to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
For they said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen, yes. Just two things real quick. Don't forget the life chain this afternoon. If you can show up, we'd appreciate that. And let's worship and praise him as we go. And if you feel like just coming to this altar and spending some time ministering to God, extolling him, and giving him high regard, let's do it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.